Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
It was almost 2 years ago that I started working.
Kelvin Krushank Odate. My African dream is the Kejov since 2020. I saw a moving plane passing by and something told me to build a plane. So from that day, I started building an airplane. It led to a stage. When it reached to the stage, I decided how I want the airplane to fly. I couldn't have it like that. So I decided to build a car. Then I started building a car to exhibitions and for showing to people. And one day I got a friend who are very excited for it, and they became part. They all come to part so that we all work together. So one day, and I started building this big project.
I would say that Kelvin is the type of student who is he always want to explore with every opportunity that comes his way. You know, when you give him something to do, he wants to do and do it very well and even do it extraordinarily. So really, as a teacher, anytime I see him doing such things, I try to give him all the encouragement and support.
Kelvin didn't tell me anything about this thing. He just started doing it when he was very young. And it wasn't like we are having the money to support him. He started doing this thing when he was walking around picking empty containers like Milo.
I used to spend the night in hotel parking lots. What was I going to do? I didn't have nowhere to stay, so I lived in the car. I had $35. And I said, come on, God, man, I've been trying to make this dream come true. You done left me out here like this. And I was crying so hard that he just said, I didn't like hear a voice or nothing, but he spoke to me, and however he said, if you get up, I'm going to take you places you ain't never been. Now I was finna quit. So I said, skip it. I'm going to quit anyway. So I got in my car. I went to a payphone, and I was going to call my dad. You remember back in the day where you could punch in a code and call your answering machine and get your messages? So I called, and I punched in the code, and the dude said, doop. He said, hey, Steve, this is Chuck Sutton with Showtime at the Apollo. We saw a tape of you. You're very funny. If you could get here Sunday night, we'd love to put you on television. Call me back. Let me know if you can make it. So I hung the phone up. I'm crushed because my whole dream of being on TV, and I couldn't get to New York. I got $35. How am I going to get to New York? I can't make it. So I'm standing there at the phone booth and tears just coming down my face. I said, God, so that must be a sign for me to go home. Because this it. I ain't even got the money to go to the Apollo. My whole thing, I wanted to be on TV. I couldn't even make the dream come true. This is the most messed up moment. And so I said, man, let me call this dude back and see if he said this Sunday. Because maybe he said next Sunday and I could hustle up a little bit of money or something. I don't know what I'm going to do, but let me just call him back. So I call him back. Steve, this is Chuck Sutton, Showtime at the Apollo. We saw a tape of yours. You're very, very funny. Look, we have an opening Sunday night at Showtime at the Apollo. If you can make it, we'd love to put you on TV. I said, it's this Sunday. Before I hit the button, I heard, doop, you have another message. Now, it wasn't there before. So I punched my code in. I listened to the second message. It said, Steve Harvey, this is Tom Sober from the Comedy Caravan. This was a Thursday. He said, I have a gig in Jacksonville, Florida on Friday night that pays $150. If you can get there Friday night, you'll make $150. So I called him back and I said, hey, Tom, did you get a gig away? He said, no, it's still available. He said, can you get there? I said, I'm in Pensacola, Florida. I'm 3.5 hours away. So I drive to Jacksonville, Florida, and that night I made the 150. Club owner said, man, you're funnier than the guy we hired. If you stay tomorrow night, I'm going to give you another $150. So now I got $300 now. So I get on the phone. I call Chuck Sutton. I say, hey, man, is the gig still available at Showtime at the Apollo? He said, yeah, we got one opening left. I said, I'll be there. So I called Eastern Airlines, who used to be open back then. They had a special for $99 going from Jacksonville, Florida to New York round trip. So I parked my car at the airport. I got it. Got on a plane, flew. Everything I had was in two bags. Got to the Apollo. I said, hey, man, I'm here. I got there at 11 o'clock in the morning. He said, you can't stay here because you don't come on to the late show tonight. I said, man, I ain't got nowhere to go. I said, if you just let me stay in this building, man, I ain't going to move around nothing. I ain't got nowhere to go. I'm in Harlem. I can't go back out here. I got these two bags. I got victim wrote all over me, man. So he said, all right, if you go upstairs, don't come down. So he put me in the dressing room on the sixth floor. So that's where all the comedians were. So I stayed up there. I got hungry around 3 o'clock. Man, I couldn't take it no more. So I went back downstairs, a dude named Alton Liston. I said, hey, man. He said, man, I thought I told you don't come down them damn steps. I said, hey, man, I'm just hungry, man. I said, let me go to that KFC I saw on the corner. Just let me get some chicken. I'll come right back. He said, man, if you ain't back in 20 minutes, you ain't getting in this building. So I went, bought me some chicken, came back. So the comedians started coming in the building. They started coming up on the sixth floor. So I meet this guy named D.L. Hughley. I introduce myself. He introduced himself. I'm sitting there, another guy come in named Dwayne Johnson. Then this other dude walked in named Jamie Foxx. And I introduced myself. We don't know each other. Ain't none of us famous. It's 1991, man. They gave everybody the lineup. I was on the last show of the night. I don't go on to 11 at night. I done had this 4 pieces of chicken. I'm starving, man. That chicken done wore off. I'm nervous, man. I'm about to throw up. D.L. Hughley went downstairs. D.L. Hughley got booed off. Dwayne Johnson got booed off. Jamie Foxx went down there and got booed. They booed Jamie, then Jamie started singing. And then they started clapping. And Jamie had their ass, then he went back to them jokes, and they got his ass. So I'm walking down the steps, and I see Jamie sitting on the steps. I said, hey, man, hang in there. He said, man, that ain't never happened to me before, man. This is crazy. This Jamie Foxx, man, one of the most talented people in all of comedy. And now, you don't even know how nervous I am, man. I can't even. My breathing is shot because these dudes been booed. So I walk out. I had wrote this joke. Mike Tyson had got in a fight in Harlem with this heavyweight named Mitch Green. Mike Tyson had hit the dude in the eye in the store. Now, he was on the news. His eye was swollen. So the joke I wrote was, they was interviewing Mitch Green, and he was telling everybody what happened, but his eye took over the interview. And I wrote this joke that his eye started talking and was just, I tell you what happened. The heavyweight champ's fist is coming towards my face. I just said, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I wrote this whole joke about this dude's eyeball talking. And when the punch came, and all this here, the Apollo, man, they went crazy. They lost their mind. I got a standing ovation, man. I walked off stage. I walked off stage, man, just started crying. I couldn't believe it. And they paid me. I made $750 for being on TV for one night. I'd never made $750 telling jokes in one night. And so that was my first television appearance. A couple weeks later, Sinbad was the host of the show. He got this job on a Different World. And so he quit. And so Mark Curry became the host. And then Mark Curry got hanging with Mr. Cooper, and he quit. And they came to me and said, would you come back to New York and host Amateur Night for us to just try you out? Oh, ain't no problem. And so I went to New York. I hosted Amateur Night, and I was killing. But every time I went to commercial break, I was supposed to let the warm-up act take over like Ruben does. But I knew not to let the warm-up act do that because he would change the attitude of the crowd because Apollo was a wild place. So I stayed out there. I did the warm-up and the hosting. And I created a bond with that audience. And that's how I got on TV. It was my very first TV show. I hosted Showtime at Apollo. I ended up being the longest-running host in the history of Showtime. I did that show for 8 years. Nobody ever did it for 8 years. And that was my turn-back moment. See, in your life, everybody has a turn back moment. You have a moment where you can go forward or you can give up. But the thing you have to keep in mind before you give up is that if you give up, the guarantee is it will never happen. That's the guarantee of quitting, that it will never happen, no way under the sun. The only way the possibility remains that it can happen is if you never give up no matter what. Because God is always coming. He's never too late. At your worst moment, look, man, when they told me I had to be in New York, I saw no way I could get there. But that God, though, he make the phone ring. I end up in Florida, I make $300. Then I go to New York, I make $750. Almost got $1,000 out of nowhere. That's what happened to me. That was my moment of never giving up. That's when I first learned that faith was everything, that you have to remain faithful.
All right, today's It's My House is titled, and like I mentioned earlier, 24 hours ago, I never heard of the term warming center. So we're going to have somebody on that explain what warming centers are, and we're also going to talk about Akon's 10% rule. People that learn the 10% rule will not have to go to a warming center and other places like that. But before we get to our guest, who will break down what a warming center is and how we can put together our own warming center network. Let me go to area code 323, which is California, man. L.A., I believe. Good morning.
Hello, L.A. This is Joe. How are you?
How are you doing, Joe?
All right. I want to know if I'm going to get my $1 million check for the commissions of the tips that I gave you.
Now, you didn't email me anything, but every time you give me some advice, it does work.
Yeah, I gave you the tips online. I didn't email anything. Remember, I was giving
you
tips
you're
about
that. You're absolutely right. And that was about a month ago.
Yeah,
that's about a month ago. We can discuss that.
Okay, because I'm expecting at least $1 million from the tips. I know that I must have garnered for you at least $5 to $10 million so far in a month.
Well, we're working on that. We're working on that. Oh, and by the way,
Happy
2022.
New Year to you too. Yeah.
Yeah. Good to hear your voice.
You have a guest coming on, so I'm going to leave. I just wanted to come in and say hi. So I'll come back another time when you don't have a guest.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Joe. Talk to you soon. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Just take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right. And Joe gives us some very good marketing advice. and whatnot. Okay, let's go to our guest for today, Peggy Osborne out of, I believe she's in Ohio. 24 hours ago, I didn't know what a warming center was. I mean, just by the name itself, you got a clue. But Peggy, good morning. Happy 2022 to you. And could you explain to us exactly what is a warming center? Oh, you know what? Before you speak, this past Monday, we had a guest on, a homeless lady, who's been at night, been sleeping in vacant buildings in North Florida. Now, although it's North Florida, it's still, for Floridians, it's cool and you can get cold. All right. It doesn't have Michigan or Montana temperatures, nothing like that, or Ohio temperatures, but you can still get cold and still get sick. So it sounded like she needed to locate a warming center. So on that note, Peggy, once again, good morning. And exactly what is a warming center? And could you distinguish that between a warming center and a shelter?
Good morning, sir. Yes, sir. You know, we do have a lot of homeless shelters here in Columbus. When the temperatures get very low, like they are, we're like in 20s at night. It's been getting down to 13 during the day. It's only in the 20s still. And now we have wind blowing that's 30 to 40 mile an hour winds today. The shelters are great. And so when people leave there in the morning, you know, because they have to leave by 6 or 7 in the morning. So they open up the warming centers, which are facilities, schools that have been closed down, daycare centers, you know, a boarded up house, community center. They'll open those up. People can go there after they leave the shelters. They can come in. They can charge their phones for the day. They can stay all day. Some of the shelter centers, they do offer, you know, they try to offer a blanket for them. Some try to offer lunch, and they do offer them other resources of places they can go and that type thing. So
okay.
They're very important, but they can't all
right,
stay
so
all night.
It, they can't stay all night. Now, what? Why? Let me put a scenario out there, and you're out in Ohio. Let's say you're in Cleveland, Ohio, right off the lake, one of the Great Lakes, and where you get that Arctic cold that comes in there. And on this particular night, the shelters are all full to capacity. However, during the daytime, because with most shelters, you know, they, after breakfast, you have to clear out, at least for the men's shelters. I don't know how to do it for the women and children's shelters, but for the men's shelter, you have to clear out right after breakfast, and then you have to show back up on time to get your bed for the night along with a meal. So let's say all the shelters in, and we're just doing a hypothetical here, in Cleveland are booked for, you know, well, last night was October, today's the 5th, January 5th, 2022. All right. So you're in a warming center right now in Cleveland, Ohio, or anywhere within the state of Ohio, because the whole state's cold. It's January 5th. And they predict not a blizzard, but tonight's temperature will be, I'm not going to go below zero. Let's say 15 degrees. No, that's below zero, though. let's say 35 degrees, you know, not freezing, almost freezing, but not quite freezing. So now for the person that wants to get into that shelter where they were last night, they had to line up, I don't know, they had to be there, what, let's say about, I don't know what time, let's say they let them in at starting at 5, I don't know, let's say at 5. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you're out of your, because the warming center is across town. The warming center, like say, might be on the west side of Cleveland, and the shelter might be on the east side of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, with 15 degrees, depending on the warming center, would they close? Because they you know, they just do their thing during daylight hours. Because
mm-hmm.
more than likely that shelter on the east side will be filled to capacity tonight and won't be able to take any brand new people. Unless somebody got into a fight or came in drunk or high, then, you know, those, they tell you that up front. You can't come, if you come in wrong, you can't come in.
That's true.
So, but let's say on this particular day, that doesn't happen. Everybody comes in there right, that was there the night before. So all the shelters are filled up. But, so do the warming centers on 35 degree weather, Fahrenheit, do they have to leave at traditional closing time for that warming center?
Yes, some of them are closing at 5 o'clock and people have to be out. When the temperatures do drop so cold, there's a lot of facilities that are letting people come in and bring like a blanket with them. They can sleep wherever. But most of the places, no cots, no beds, there's a floor. Sometimes they let people stay, and the majority of the time, though, they don't. So when they go back to the shelter, a lot of them can't get back into the shelter. There's a waiting list, or if they're late, they don't get in. And then they get kicked off of the list if they're not there on that certain time. A lot of people lose their place in the shelters. So, you know, they're back in their car, they're just on the street. A lot of people, too, stay in abandoned houses in the doorways, you know, or in a lot of places, too, here. We have a lot of boarded up properties on the streets. So what they do, they'll go and take the window, because a lot of them's boarded up. They'll take the the boards off, or they'll go in the back door, and they'll stay in these houses, abandoned. Then they'll go in the morning to the warming center, you know, to get something warm to eat, hopefully, because not all the warming centers as well. You know, they're limited to supplies. There's just so many people. You know, if they pass out blankets or food, there's a line of people of 300 to 500 people. So if you're not the first 50 or first 100 or 200 people in line, you know, they're not getting a blanket, they're not getting food. They have to go to the other shelter. By the time they get there, ride the bus, you know, it's stopped so many times all the way across town. That place is closed, or they're out of food or supplies. So the struggle is very real out here for the homeless people. You know, it's limited sometimes to services that they can get. Just because of, like, sometimes IDs. They don't have IDs. You can't get into some of the shelters.
You need an ID to get into a shelter?
Yes,
sir. You need an ID to get into a shelter?
Yes, sir. If they don't, they help them get their IDs. Just because they help them, they assist them with, like, getting them on assisted living, signing them up for apartments, the Housing Coalition, if they stay in the homeless shelter here, they will, for a couple weeks, you know, we have homeless people that are in the shelter waiting on apartments that have been on there for 2 and 3 years, waiting to get a place to live. Families, mothers, fathers with their children living at the shelter in order, you know, waiting their turn to get on HUD or into the homeless subsidized living, because we have apartments, homeless apartments, just different places for different phases that people are at in their life. Getting out of prison, you know, we have a second chance place for them. And the homeless, it's they have a hard struggle out here when they have to leave the shelters and the warming stations. Because if they can't get into the warming station, if there's too many people, now with COVID, you know, they're only letting so many people in. So, you know, that's becoming a problem as well. They're trying to open more and more warming centers. We have a lot of people homeless.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We had a guest on here Monday. Hold on, Robin. We had a guest on here Monday that she's homeless. We interviewed her for a tad bit over 2 hours. But I'm noticing some common denominators here with shelters and warming centers and even social services. Anyway, Robin, you wanted to chime in?
So, yeah, about the ID, it's by law, everyone has to identify themselves. If the police, if you encounter the police and if you don't have an ID on you, they can take you into custody for the purpose of identifying you by fingerprints, and they can hold you for 3 days. So it's the law, okay, that you have to present your ID as well. So, but that was some really good information that Peggy just relayed. The warming centers, they will activate when the temperature gets below a certain thing, but it's not a shelter. They just open the doors and let people in. Sometimes there's not even operating toilet facilities because they're not shelters. They don't have to provide a lot of the same things that would be required in a shelter situation. So it's really, and guess what, people? You can open up your garages, or if you have tents in your backyard, you can create warming centers for people as well, even if you have an enclosed porch, even if you just let people stay on your porch, okay? Because
now, you have to be careful about that, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that we go to the government and the municipalities to help us when we can, and we should help ourselves, because you keep turning to that government, pretty soon you're going to go through them double doors and you're going to find yourself detained and not able to come, because you're going to find that these are reunification centers. They're not helping like you think. So it can be pretty tricky and pretty dangerous, but we really should be helping ourselves. You've got churches that could be opening their doors, but they do like this. They'll open the doors and then they'll say, well, they don't pay tithes or something like that. So they'll let people in but not turn the heat on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have this kind of stuff going on in warming centers. is what I'm saying. And so there's a chance for people to get mistreated, treated like a herd of animals, worse than animals, like that. So it's not a pretty sight. You know what? I would suggest on those nights, on one of those nights that it gets so cold that they open up the warming centers, get out of your nice cozy house, get out of your car, get on foot, and go out there and get into a warming center and experience it and see what it's like. The whole thing, from getting into one, staying in one, and having to get out. That's what I would say to people. And then we can really devise some ways that we can help people survive through these times. We've got the weather is crazy everywhere up here in Seattle. We've got rain, wind, snow, and flooding. Now it's flooding. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, after listening to the lady on Monday, who is homeless for, you know, a little bit over 2+ hours, I've come up with, well, nothing brand new.
Uh-huh.
But one thing is, and that's why I titled today's podcast, Warming Centers and AECOM's 10% Rule. Let's start off with AECOM's 10% Rule. And this does apply to housing. And let me throw out a term also when it comes to housing. Appropriate technology. Appropriate technology. A dwelling, a house, a shelter, whatever you want to call it, a castle, those are all different types of technologies, okay? Most people have not been taught what's the appropriate technology or housing based on their financial budget. Now, AECOM's rule is, I don't have it in my audio library, I don't think. But anyway, he says basically he doesn't buy anything that doesn't fit into his, I think he calls it the 10% rule.
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, if he's buying, let me know when you got it ready to go.
All right.
He doesn't buy anything that is, you know, doesn't fit the 10% rule. In other words, one example, if he's contemplating of buying a house for $100,000, if he doesn't have 10 times that in the bank, which is $1 million, he's not going to buy. And liquid, if he doesn't have $1 million liquid in the bank, he's not going to buy the $100,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's, and there's a whole lot of people out here that have borrowed money for 30 years. For $100,000 house, and they don't even have $10,000 in the bank. Some might not even have $1,000 in the bank. So, I think people should apply. And one of the common denominators, because I haven't heard the homeless lady that was on Monday. I haven't heard anybody who's come from a shelter, been in a shelter, worked for a shelter, a social worker. No, I haven't heard any of them talk about the 10% rule. Because if you don't apply the 10% rule, you can end up homeless real fast at any time.
L.A., I'm finding it in YouTube, but it's only a minute long. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's all. That's all it is.
Okay, and then you'll have to, and then you'll have to unmute the other 866.
Okay, let me. All right, I see it.
I'm on. Okay, and let me know when you have
it. Hold
it,
I'm unmuting
it. I'll start playing it.
All right, I'll unmute it. Wait a minute. If, okay, here it goes.
So
all right.
What I did is always, I got this 10% rule. Like, if whatever I'm purchasing isn't 10% of 100% value of what I have in the bank, I don't touch it. So, in other words, let's say hypothetically, if you have a car that you want to buy for $100,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't got $1 million in the bank,
you shouldn't buy that car.
Don't buy it.
Right.
And that goes with your house, whatever. If you want to buy a house that costs $1 million, if you ain't got $10 million in the bank, bro, don't touch that house because you're not going to be able to afford it. It's just impossible because most times people don't look at the interest in the long run. And those houses, you know, those are 25, 30-year loan investments.
Yeah.
With that interest backed up, that $1 million turned into quick almost $2 million. This is almost 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And after, you know, none of us got good credit or had good credit
right.
coming up. We get that big advance and we go get that chain first, get that whip first,
mm-hmm.
get that house, like, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's Akon's 10% rule, and I think that's a very practical rule to go by.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady that was on Monday, we haven't had no social worker, but all the social workers I've talked to in the past, they haven't mentioned anything like that. So I think that's a very good practice. And
right.
Now this comes from by listening to the lady Monday, because on Monday, Robin and we had another lady on here, Lola. Hopefully Lola will show up today. Mostly Robin, but Lola gave us some good advice too. They were basically attempting to educate this woman, who happens to be homeless, on what to do. So that got me thinking. I was speaking to a friend of mine in Asia this morning, and it got me, because she's in the education business, it got me thinking, you know what? The idea that we're doing with our community meals and house buildings type stuff, I'm going to coin that housing school, where we actually teach people not only how to, you know, which we've been talking about anyway, how to build a house, you know, without bank financing, but the people that might come in, like the lady on Monday, or even if they're not in dire straits like that, it's we haven't been educated. The general public has not been educated on the fundamentals of getting and keeping housing.
And that is the LA, that's the reason why all those programs that they make fail. They don't follow through with the sustainability. You have to give the people the education and you have to empower them through sustainability. Your job is not done once you house them or once you get them their medical care or their fiduciary, their money. It doesn't stop there. Yes, this is very good.
Right.
Yes.
And you know what's interesting, Robin? Now, I told you, we talk every day anyway. She called me every single day, 3-4 times a day.
You ain't heard
from her since then,
have you?
Haven't heard nothing from her since that podcast Monday, when you, primarily you, and Lola threw in some stuff too. You two were basically attempting to educate her. Y'all were schooling her. Here's what you do. You were giving specific, direct, simple. They might not have been easy, depending on your mindset, but you told her, you gave her clear, 2 hours. We were on the air for a little bit over 2 hours, but haven't heard back from her since. So had somebody sent money to her for a room, it wouldn't have done her any good.
We couldn't have
she
got
still
it,
had
got
that
it
same
to
situation.
We couldn't have got it. We couldn't have got it to her anyway. And remember, I mentioned that we told the people to contact me to get her the money,
and
right?
That
so
never
you
happened.
You would think that right after that show ended that she would be getting online to connect with me to go, here's my information, so that when people send the money, blah, 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 okay? And
right.
Also, I don't know if you noticed, everything that we offered her, every option that we offered her, she did a yeah, but.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't want to go in and get into a place and have to leave tomorrow. Yeah, thank you. Oh, it's really cold outside. She was in a place, and all she did was physically go outside and stand outside while she was on the phone, which any of us could do. Okay?
Right.
Because we gave her information. I told her, go somewhere, fall out, and that would get her into a medical situation where she could request a social worker when she gets discharged from that hospital. That social worker would have worked the magic, and she'd go into a place. That's probably in the stipulation that she won't have to leave the next day. Okay?
Right.
Because we're not talking about vouchers, that social worker is going to get you into a program. But see, some people, they don't want the program. They need the program, but they don't want to get in the. They don't want to get with the program. You know how they say get
right.
with the program? You got to get with
exactly.
the program. And again, and I said this, the first thing that I said is, when you're in a situation that you need help, okay, get humble, and then get out of yourself and then go help somebody else out of the same situation that you're in. Let me tell you something. I cannot tell you the numbers of people that I've helped out of a homeless situation when I was still stuck in it. I'll give you an example. One place would take you in, but you had to have kids. I didn't have kids. One place would give you a voucher and first last month's rent, but again, you had to have kids. I never. So what I did was I would go and I would tell other people, man, you got kids, you can go get off the street right now. Go over here.
Right.
Okay? So there were countless people that I helped even while I still couldn't get help. But did when I saw people getting help and getting stable, and I had a contribution just telling them about it, that gave me hope. That gave me some real righteous hope and something real to hold on to. And I pull myself up. You can only rely on yourself to pull your own self up. Don't
right.
go to other people. Go to God, don't go to other people. Go to God and then go where he needs you to go. Okay? Because unfortunately, when you're in that situation, you're a sitting duck. And everyone is going to take shots at you. Everyone. The police, society, blah, blah, blah. And all you are is just a person without a house. But you got a job. You might even have a car. You understand? Children, family, you vote. You buy things, right? You just don't have
right.
a house. I want to take less out of homeless because they treat us as less than. So let's say we're all homies. Let's take the less out of homelessness, okay? Because we're not less than.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
that part, Miss Robin. Yes, ma'am. And I just want to speak just for a moment, sir. You know, as well, too, if, when they're homeless and they're, we have a lot of people here. There's a couple ladies that every time I go to town, they're at the same spot, at the same homeless house or abandoned house. I stopped and spoke with them. And today I'm taking blankets with me when I take my granddaughter back to Columbus. I have my car packed with three industrial-sized trash bags of blankets that I'm taking down to the warming center today. But also there is if when the shelters are closed and the warming centers are closed and people can't get in, they can also call the women's resource centers, which are for abuse women, you know, in abusive relationships. And a lot of these facilities as well are taking in women that are homeless on the street. If they have a special need, say that they're pregnant or something like that, they have no family members as well, they can also call the police. The police will come and pick them up. They will, here in Columbus, I don't know about other cities or states, and they will, they can take them to churches. They take them to emergency women's shelters, you know, just to get them in, to get them into a program for the night. And then the next day, you know, they have social workers come and help them. There is just a lot, just like Ms. Robin Lynn said, let's take the homeless, the less out of it. Because I see it every day, Ms. Robin Lynn, how the air homeless people are, how they're treated, how they're looked at. It's terrible how they are treated. You know, the health department as well, they offer a lot, you know, not just with shots or help getting your ID and stuff. Mm-hmm. The health department also helps with all kinds of different programs here. They have a lot of resources.
211. Mm-hmm. Wherever
yes,
you're
ma'am.
At, you can dial 211 mm-hmm. and tell them your circumstance, and they should be able to refer you to some numbers. And if you call and don't get through or don't get a good result, don't hesitate to keep calling them back. That's what they're there for. And they will work and root out numbers and plain things for you. They will work on your behalf when you keep calling 211. Don't yell at them. Don't get frustrated with them because they're there to help you, and they will help you more than just answering the phone and giving you some information. Okay, and 211, I'm not sure, but they can patch you through. If you can't call, I believe they can patch you through. And also, if you need communication, and you can get a hold of me, and I can patch you through on numbers as well, you know, if your communication goes down. So 211.
Let me ask you both a question. Because, Robin, you out there 15 years or so, and Peggy, you're on the front lines, I guess, daily almost, or at least, well, you're a lot out there. What, on a scale of 1 to 10, what percentage do you think will be, well, what's the, factoring out mental disability and drug abuse or substance abuse, what percentage of those people that are homeless would be open? Well, let's give an example of Monday. Monday, the lady that was on air with us for 2+ hours, she had the opportunity the call, Robin, and as Robin stated earlier, saying this is my information, this is where I can get in at. But she never called Robin, and for the first time in, I'd say, 3 weeks, probably 4 weeks, that she's called me every day, no less than 2, 3, 4 times a day.
And now
bare minimum twice.
Yep.
Haven't heard from her since Monday.
And
today is Wednesday.
Yep.
So my question is, on a scale of 1 to 10 of people that are in her situation, what do you think, what percent do you think 1 to 10 would call Robin?
Okay, so watch
this. For what we do, go ahead, Robin.
Because we advocate, and we can actually get results and get you out of a situation, right? So when they don't respond, but the percentage of the people that will respond, right? If a person is genuinely in need and they genuinely want help, 100% of those people will. But 0% of the people who are out here chipping off, trying to come up on some money so that they can come up in the place to sit and do their drugs. Okay?
Okay.
So there's dope fiend moves. There's all kind of stuff. Okay, there's all kind of behaviors that's going on. But in someone that is sincerely wants their help, okay, and there are indicators, okay? We didn't have to spend 2 hours with that shit, okay?
Right.
Okay? But that was a good example, but now you can see, if you go back and listen to it, there are indicators early on from her responses, right, that would have stipulated for me to say, okay, blah, 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 we'll see you later. Because you're not, she's not, people aren't, some people aren't really serious about it. But the ones that are about it, the ones that are real serious about it, they will respond and call out. And then, sadly, unfortunately, there will be some that will take advantage of the situation. Those are the ones that I call regulars. They know how to get funding. They know how exactly every place, how many days that they can stay, where they can go, blah, 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 and they work the system, okay? When you have a person telling you there's nothing open, there's nothing available, and then they're telling you it's COVID, and you know that COVID, the pandemic is past, so things are operating and things are open, right? So when someone is telling you that they can't get into a place and there's nothing available and all this and all of that, that's the person that has exhausted. They have burned bridges and they've exhausted their resources, especially if they mention that they have been put out from family members and blah, 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 and they separated themselves from stability, okay? Now I would be saying, well, you know what? Yeah, you need housing, but I think you might need to, are you okay? Because your decision, you're making poor decisions. Now I'm wondering about your mental state and capacity.
Right.
Now I'm concerned for you, okay? See, because I'm not an MSW, I ain't got no college education or nothing like that. But I had to advocate for myself. I had to triage myself. I had to assess myself. You understand? I had to refer myself. You understand? So when I encounter it, it does not take me very long. But I can't rob someone of their experience, you know? As a producer, I have to stay in my lane as a producer, But it's very rare, like I did the other day with that gentleman that came on, and I'll pull that chain on the show, because we have to have that learning experience, because people, the listeners, they need to be aware, because there are some people that are listening that they're doing the same thing that we're doing, and they're trying to do the same thing that we're doing. You're shining a light and turning on a lot of light everywhere, man. When I talk about It's My House and what they're doing, what you're doing over here, everyone is just really fascinated. So,
well, let me ask you this now, and let's direct this towards Peggy first. The people that, all right, the lady Monday, like you said, she had a whole lot of yes buts. And, we don't know if her whole story is credible. But the people that are in these shelters, matter of fact, did either one of you see the movie In Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith?
Yes.
Well, give me your feedback on that movie. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, wasn't that the one where he got it was the rich family?
Well, what I remember about the movie is it was him and his son, and they were both homeless.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
In one scene, they had to sleep in the men's room one night.
Yep.
And he got into a shelter, and he had his kid in school. I mean, he had a tight schedule. And
yep.
But it's based, that movie is based on a real-life situation. Of a real dad with his son.
That was a real man. That was
yeah.
a real man. Yep.
But I never forget the scene when they had to sleep in the men's room. That was their home for the night.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they showed up to the shelter late, and it was tight because he finally got an internship at a stock brokerage. But internships typically don't pay. At least back then they didn't. But he knew he had to put in the work and build up the professional and social capital. Then he had his kid in school. I mean, it paid off for him. But
it's rough. But watch this.
Right.
It's no different than any. The only difference is that he didn't have a house, but he had.
Well,
you still got to educate your kid. You still got to pursue your life. I wouldn't care what it is. Okay.
Right. Oh,
and
you know,
so the fact
he didn't make any excuses.
Exactly, and he shouldn't, because he's just a person, another person. You understand what I'm saying to you? Okay?
Right.
He's a common person. Okay? And yeah, okay. Good job, attaboy. You went to school, you educated yourself, blah blah blah, but these are things that we should be doing anyway, rightfully so. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, so that for me, I think it's a damn shame that it takes the fact that he was homeless for somebody to notice this man, to give him any, to acknowledge him and his presence and his existence. That's what
right.
I think is a shame. Mhm. So,
yeah, that's a very good movie, In Pursuit of Happiness.
They did a really good job of showing what it's like. That was a hard movie for me to watch, because I experienced I experienced a lot in those 15 years that I was out there, and it's really dark.
And you know what? I'm thinking now. That scene, going back to where he and his son, their home for the night, was the men's room at a bus station or office, or wherever it was, because he had to, you know, lock the door and all that other stuff so nobody would come in. But, you know, had what do you call it, the Child Protection Services? Had that guy on their radar, he would have lost his kid.
Not
at least temporarily, they would.
No, not necessarily. Just because you're, no, because he wasn't endangering him. It's only when you put the child in a dangerous situation, and the fact that they were in a public bathroom, locked in, that they wouldn't take him for that. But they do have to be very, very careful. Like if he had him outside on a park bench. And the dangerous dark, and the park is closed at night, blah, 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 you know, then most definitely. If they don't pick their children up from school on time, okay, because even if you're homeless and in a shelter, they have a school, and they will take the children to school, right?
Right.
But if you're not present to receive that child after school, boop, CPS, they're gone.
That's rough.
It's very, very rough. Where if a person that has a house, right, they'll call you and say, okay, well, we'll give you 15 minutes. We'll give you an hour or whatever, but they won't call CPS unless there's so many incidences of that happening. So why are they so hard on the homeless people? And why it's ridiculous.
Are they?
And I think that as general, that people look down on people when they don't have as much as they have. People just do. I don't know why. I think that schools need to get back to teaching our children economics, how to bank, how to, you know, get a job, save your money, how to cook, how to can your food, how to prepare your food, how to put aside $5 or $10 when you get a job. You know, when I was growing up, I had a little yard job, you know, cutting grass, picking up trash, pop cans, pop bottles, taking them back to the store. You know, we'd get so many pennies or whatever, 5 cents a bottle or whatever, you know, 3 or 4 cents. Take that back. At an early age, you know, this goes back to, we have lost so many parents, you know, like here in Columbus, we have lost over 178,000 parents due to drugs, gun violence, you know, what have you. We have grandparents that are raising grandkids, 178,000 grandparents right now. They have no parents. The grandparents are doing what they can, but they're struggling. You know, you have teenagers that's not following grandma's rules. They run away. They're in the street. You know, there's a lot of, you know, like Ms. Rodelin said, you know, the people that need mental evaluations, they're not getting it. People are just, you know, if people are not following through with the programs, you know, like y'all were talking about the lady on Monday, you know, when you have so many programs and you're out there and you're really out there, there's so many programs and people are offering you help and how you can go and where you can go in every city or state. I know some of our cities are very small and there's not a lot of resources, but in every city or state, if you contact your police department, say, look, I'm homeless. I have nowhere to go. I absolutely have nothing. They will take you to a church. They will take you to the health department. They will take you to a woman's emergency shelter. Every city or state have a woman's emergency shelter or a men's emergency shelter, and they will take them straight there and get them help. And also, I wanted to put this out there very quickly as well. All of our buses, Trailways bus, and our airports, if people are homeless, I just found this out a few weeks ago, helping get a body back to Columbus. I did some research helping the family getting the body back. Now, if he was been alive, they, if you can prove that you're homeless and you're in another city or state, for instance, he was in California, okay, if he would have went to Trailways bus station and said, look, I'm homeless, I'm trying to get back to, for instance, Columbus, okay, they could verbally, you know, can look at him and see, you know, he has no clothes, no luggage, looks very weathered, you know, they will absolutely, Trailways bus and the airport have two seats on every plane and on every bus station, every bus that's leaving out of every city. If someone is stranded and they go to the bus station and tell them they're stranded, they will give them a bus seat on that bus or on the airplane and send them back home for free. That's what I found out a couple weeks ago. Just to put that out there.
Okay, well, now, at these warming centers, and we'll throw in shelter, too, do they, or a little bit I know about men's shelters, the Salvation Army and another one I know in D.C. called Central Union Mission. They feed them, they give them a bed, provided they don't come in drunk or high, or they don't fight anybody. And before they feed you, and probably before they even assign you a bed or a bunk, there's Bible study. So that's the main requirement at a lot of these men's shelters. Maybe not all of them, but the ones that I know about. So, but there's no educational component. In other words, all right, this is what you need to do as far as lifestyle, house building, saving money, whatever. None of them have, in my opinion, from ones I've, and I don't know all of them, none of them have anything where, like Robin said, you know, a lot of these people that are going into these shelters and warming centers are repeat customers. So do you guys know of anybody who's doing anything where they, where the repeat customers are becoming less frequent?
You
know, how to build a log cabin or how to put together the erector, that's something.
There's nothing out there other than it's my house for the people that takes them from, okay, watch this. The shelter, now what? You got the housing, now what? Watch this. When I first got into housing after 15 years, I was in complete and utter shock. And I broke down, right? Because having to shift from sheer survival mode and being on defense, now I'm in a place by myself, and it's a different mindset. Now I've got responsibility. Now I have to pay the light bill, the cable bill. Now I have to get groceries. Now I have to prepare meals. And I got completely overwhelmed, and I was unprepared, and I just shut down. So that's what happens to a lot of people. We give them the money, think our job is done. Now they'll go on and they'll get their apartment and they'll go on with their lives and blah blah blah. Not so. You have to support them. Maybe they have some things going on that they're not thinking too clearly, so they don't make good decisions. So now you might have to have some life skills classes for some of these people that you've taught them how to build a house. Okay, you have to teach them how to sustain it after that. You know.
All right, let's put a pin on that right quick. All right, let's say you have an income Well, now let's go by what Akon says. You need a place to stay. Okay. And you don't have, matter of fact, if either one of you can look it up online right now, what's the average amount of savings that the typical American has in a bank account right now? Let me see if I can look it up real quick. Average bank account savings. Let's see what this comes back with. All right, how much does an average 30-year-old have saved? All right, how much money does the average 30-year-old have saved if you actually have $47,000? Now, that's about now, I don't want how much money you should have saved. Average U.S. savings account balance. The average bank account balance for people under 35 is $11,250.
Really?
I don't think it's that high, but that's what they see in this one article.
Peggy, hold on. Peggy, you got $11,000 saved?
No, ma'am.
Okay,
not at all. There is no way in any form or fashion. That would be no.
All right, but you know what? Hold on. Let's take that figure. $11,000 liquid.
Wow.
Now, according to Akon, okay, 10% of that is, what, $1,100. So that's how much a house you can afford. All right. Lamar Alexander, the solar cabinet I play all the time, without the solar on it, he spent $2,000 to build that. Yeah, I don't think the average American has $11,000 in their bank account.
Not at all.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Because if that was the case, they wouldn't have given a stimulus check. So that's propaganda right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's suspect to me.
Right.
I mean, I know very few people right now. I do know people that may have $30,000, $50,000, but it's tied up in assets, investments. As to people, anyone to have $10,000 or $11,000 on hand or in a bank account, with the way things are right now, gas, even gasoline, $3.40 a gallon. You know, that's hard. That's some hard numbers right there. That's, you know, $11,000, that's a little bit of pocket change. People just don't have that.
Let me see. Let me look for another. All right. How much does every – okay. I'm looking for a chart here. All right, here's this might be more realistic. At age 34, singles with children should have $1,350 in the bank. Oh, that's singles with children. Singles with no children should have $2,700 in the bank. They say it should have. It doesn't say they do have now. Okay. All right, let's take this figure. couples with children at age 34 should have, it doesn't say do have, $3,682 in the bank. Now, according to Akon, 10% of $3,600 is what? $360. For that kind of, that's how much house that they can afford on that. And that, you know what, that's where banks have got us in the slavery with all these 30-year mortgages.
Uh-huh.
The average, you know what? No matter what that neighborhood looks like, the average American is broke. How many people actually pay cash for their car? How many people actually pay cash for their house? Well, interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
All right, well.
Go ahead.
We have
two homes, which is hard, very, very hard. One home my daughter lives in, but our house payment up here on the other house is $1,500 a month. The house payment alone, I think it's too much. You know, how are we ever going to get this house paid for? You know, my husband works every day. The credit card, you know, we pay the house payments. Thank God for the credit cards is all I can say. But, you know, it is when people are working every day, you know, it absolutely takes 2-3 paychecks, and people don't have that just to make ends meet. We have rental properties that are being rented out in our worst neighborhoods for $1,200 to $1,500 a month. The people that are living there are becoming homeless because the landlords are raising the rent. They're not fixing the windows, fixing the doors, fixing the roofs, but they're paying excessive rent, $1,200 to $1,500 a month for apartments. So, you know, and people, they just don't have that much money. Our jobs, gas, groceries, everything's went up, cost of living, and people are not getting those increases. You know, the government is giving you an increase in Social Security or disability, $20, $30 increase for cost of living. I'm sorry, but a single person that's on disability cannot pay rent, electric, gas. These older people are struggling so bad. You know, older people, they can't go to the store and buy healthy food. If the food pantries are not open, healthy food, you get very little of it. Very little, because they can't afford it. You know, rent,
okay.
Can't pay their rent, lot rent, yes. It's terrible.
Okay, I got some different figures here. All right, how much does the average person have in savings? Snapshot of the typical American household savings. The Fed's 2019 survey of consumer finance shows that the typical American household has $5,300 in a savings account at a bank or credit union. Okay, I can believe that as an overall average. According to Akon, we're talking about a person shouldn't have a house for no more than $530. Okay. All right. That's a you're going to have to go on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist and do a, what do you call it? You're going to have to buy a camper for that. You can find a used camper for $500. It's going to be a fixer-upper. All right. Now, here's another thing that says checking account. The average is currently, all right, one, this one has, the average is currently over 10,000, but the typical American will have closer to a median of $2,000 in their checking account. All right. So what's 10% of 2,200? We're back to OfferUp, Craigslist, and but you know what? But now, that's why I play that Lamar Alexander sold a cabin video, audio so much. Lamar Alexander built a cabin all by him lonesome. It took him 2 weeks, but he paid out of his pocket $2,000, and he has a debt-free house. Now, he put another $3,000 in there, you know, so it'll be solar and all that, solar $5,000. But that was all out of his pocket. So I got a cousin, and for years, she's got like two kids. They're all grown now. But she was always in and out of evictions and moving every 6 to 12 months. Last time I spoke to her, she's paying $1,800 a month rent. Now, I can go out here and rent two Rolls Royces a month or a brand new Rolls for less than $1,800 a month. I get a Rolls or a Bentley. Monthly payment, that's what it'll be. So you got people out here that they've got a Walmart budget, or you know what, they got a Dollar General budget, but they're trying to sustain themselves on a Rolls or a Bentley budget, and they just don't have it. That's why, and I think that's where we'll come in at. We're going to educate people on, that you have to get something that matches your budget. I mean, if your housing budget is realistically, matter of fact, if all you got is $500, then you need to go house hunting on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. You don't need to be on Zillow or Redfin or Realtor.com. That's just a fact of the matter. Or eBay. You know, I have an eBay budget. Okay. But I was able to buy some cheap land on eBay. You know, so these are things that we'll be teaching people. Peggy, any other thing you want to put out there on warming houses, shelters, or opportunities in and around Ohio?
Yes, sir. I would just like to say that I encourage everyone to call 211 if they need help in our city or state. We do have resources. Call the health department. Call your local children's service area department if they need help with emergency food stamps. Reach out, you know, ask questions if they are in need. And like Ms. Robin Lynn said too, though, you know, some people have exhausted their means. They have been so many times, you know, they can't go back. We need to come together as a whole community. When we see someone is struggling, check on your neighbors, just check on people. if you see them struggling, you know, we may not have $1 million to help them, but if you have 10 jackets, you're not wearing them all, take 8 of them and give them away. It will come back to you. Everything that we have is not going to fit in our box. So spend
speaking of which, Peggy, we're looking for boots on the ground partners in your neck of the woods, where we want to hold weekly community meals where we can not only educate people, but actually, you know, have classes on teaching them how to build, well, house building school, essentially.
I am with it, sir.
Yeah, the weekly meals basically is we tell people you have no more than 10 people, including yourself. And we include you and your husband as one. And a budget of, we recommend potluck, but if you had to come out of your pocket, a budget of no more than $20, at the extreme 50, let's say $20. To feed 10 people, you know, finger foods, or you can make soups or spaghetti or what have you. If you're interested, I can get back to you this afternoon on that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely. Anything that we can do to offer, to educate, to, you know, just make everyone more, to be self-empowered, you know, self-reliance. That way you can empower
right.
other people, but we have to be self, you know, reliant. And I'm with it, sir. Definitely. Anything we can do to help better our community, I am with it 100%. Anything we can
right.
do.
Right.
You know,
like
excited.
Say, with, because
yeah.
I'm looking at it right. If you got a warming center and they're in there 8 to 10 hours, let's say something like that,
mm-hmm.
that's a good opportunity to educate people who are interested in having their own place. If you
yeah.
got a shelter, you know, same thing. I mean, you got a captive audience. And one of the things I did learn Monday for sure is, and Robin was, a lot of people, the first step before they even think about learning how to build anything is a lot of people, they just need a social worker.
Yes.
And then once they've gotten to that, and you know what, they might even need a social worker to, you know, to keep in touch with them until, you know, I don't know how aftercare, what do they call it, aftercare or something like that?
Yes,
but,
life coaches. Some people need a life coach, just, you know, someone they can reach out to when they get stuck or stumbling along the way. A lot of people get
right.
out of, you know, prison and rehab. They do offer life coaches with them, you know, when they get, at, you know, after the program, rehab program, they get them into assisted living right away. They first get them a job, a house, a car, you know, and so they are self-sufficient. But, you know, still they may have mental issues, you know, that they may not be making good choices. So those life coaches are very, very important to people. Just sometimes, you know, just to get some general information or just an idea, you know, just people, if they just have that lifeline, they don't give up on themselves, and they can, it self-empowers them. You know, when they feel like they can do something, people can achieve anything if they are led, that they can believe in, if they believe in themselves, they can accomplish anything.
Right. Well, that's you're right. Life coach. I guess a lot of people need that. What are the current hours? You got social services. You can go to your faith. You know, your pastor, priest, rabbi. Or somebody to talk to, or a therapist. or, as you stated, Peggy, life coach. I think sometimes people don't realize, or maybe they don't know how to reach out to people to ask for help. What do you think?
People sometimes don't ask for help because they are too embarrassed. They don't know how to ask for help because they are lost, sometimes due to drugs, mental, you know, they feel lost as it is. So if a person does not, if someone's close to them and they don't see that they are failing, it's sometimes hard for people to reach out.
Most of the time, people that are in that condition, they're injured, okay? So when you come up upon a wounded animal, they're sore and they're touchy. So even when you try to go and help them, they're sore. And they're sore because they're like this. Y'all done got me up in this place. You done gave me money. You done gave me a place. But now I'm up in here. Now what? Because you've taken a person that all they knew was how to hustle or how to do dope or how to survive. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And just because you've taken them out of that situation and now put them in this situation does not mean that they know how to operate. So they're not going to even be aware or conscious that they need help. So the people that empowered them, if you're going to empower people, then you really need to solidly empower them. Your job is not done once you've given them the money or once you've given them the place. You have to follow through. How are you doing? Oh, man, it's kind of rough. Oh, it is? Well, what's going on? Well, man, now I got bills. Oh, yeah. Now you can have some dialogue and enlighten them and educate them. You see? Because if that
right.
doesn't happen, if you don't have a person with them that can help them grow, right, and accommodate themselves to life, then they're going to just understand that they're failing, they can't do it, and they'll be like, fuck it, and they'll give up. And then now they have to go back to the situation that they're in, and now they're going, oh, here you go. You failed. You're a regular. How come? But it's not their fault. Once you put them in a place, once you've given them their money, you still have your responsibilities. It only starts. How about that? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to help people, then help them thoroughly. Otherwise, you're hurting them. Leave them alone.
Okay.
Just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, you guys got any announcements? If not, I mean, we'll wrap it up for today. Hilltop tonight or what?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And what time is that and what's the number?
Tell them, Peg.
Yes, ma'am. Hilltop Radio Show tonight from 9 to 11. Call-in number is 543. Oh, it's always typed on my phone.
516-9110.
Yes, ma'am. That show is absolutely phenomenal. Dropping new sounds, new records, new artists. It's just a great show all the way around. Vibes Live, check out Vibes Live Radio as well. Miss Robin Lynn Maven Productions as well. And Miss Robin Lynn, I just want to say thank you so much for everything you do. Vaughn, thank you for everything you're doing, everything y'all do on It's My House. this information is so vital to every community, to every person that's hearing this. Every information that y'all put out, it's so important. There are so many struggles. Just thank y'all for everything that y'all are doing. Thank you so much.
Okay, so Peggy, I'll be calling you late afternoon about the weekly community meals or whenever you can do it. Like I said, we want to keep those groups small to about 10. What was the temperature last night in your part of Ohio?
13.
Woo.
And today we are expecting, with, and that was just the regular temperature. That's not the wind chill. Our wind chill is blowing, the wind is blowing about 40 miles an hour right now. It's very cold here. Like I said, I'm getting ready to go to town. It's an hour drive. I'm taking blankets to the center. And also the homeless center there, I'm going to go in and ask them about using their conference room on a, you know, one day a week, because they have conference rooms available for different things and let people come in and do things, you know, teach Narcan, whatever. So they probably will let us use the conference room in the homeless shelter to do a meal. You know, people are there coming in late in the evening.
They may not be allowed to. Usually those shelters, the buildings that allow them to use it, they're like real strict on libraries.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We have plenty of those. Yes, ma'am.
And community centers.
We have a ton of them.
Yeah, Peggy, check the local libraries and see if you're allowed to bring in refreshments.
Okay. I know some of them we can, but I do know our drop-in centers, Ms. Robin Lynn. That's an awesome idea. I'm writing it down right now. Drop-in centers, they let people come in, drop in. You can take anything there. You can take pots of soup to the drop-in centers, just because people just stop in different days for stuff. You know, like you can go to a drop-in center and get a shower. It's different than the warming center or the homeless shelter. We have that.
Break that down to us now. What kind of services do you have at a drop-in center?
Okay, sir. The drop-in centers, or something like a warming center, but a drop-in center is like a, they've took an abandoned house, someone in the community has bought it, they open it up as a, people take donations of clothes, shoes, extra food, dog food, cat food, anything that they have extra they can take and take it to the drop-in center. And that's where all this stuff that I have is going today, to the drop-in center. People drop in and they ask for, like, if they just have a job, they may have a request for a pair of work boots. The drop-in center may have them. They need a coat, you know, a dress coat for work. They help them with resources, like of that type of stuff, to get them back in to the working force. They also, at the drop-in center, they have resources where people can go and get help for jobs, job listing. People go there for work today, pay today places. People also go there waiting in hopes to be picked up on a, you know, work today. We do have those places available, but the drop-in centers are wonderful just because you never know what's available, what people are looking for. People go to drop-in centers, you know, to charge their phone, so they need extra chargers. Anyone have any extra chargers? That's greatly appreciated. Work clothes, anything that you don't have a need for, someone else does. Extra pots and pans, extra food is great. Gloves, hats, any of that stuff is greatly needed and greatly appreciated. You can just drop
in.
Okay,
drop in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some people go just if they need a friend. Yes.
Shop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like a warming center and shelter, but it's not a shelter. Like, you can't stay overnight. They're open daily, usually. Some of them are open
like
7 days
say,
a week.
Broadband, so if you need a shower and if it's available, take a shower
yes,
and leave.
Sir. Yes.
Or if
yes.
you, like you said, you gave an example of you just got hired on, or you're going getting ready for a job interview and you need a pair of shoes. If they mm-hmm. have a pair of shoes, you drop in. If they have them, they don't. If not, you just go. Oh, that's boy,
yes, drop
interesting.
In
learn
and
a lot about
you. A lot of the ladies, I call them ladies of the, I call them ladies of the street, because
mm-hmm.
they are lost and they are ladies and men. We have a lot of young men on the street as well, doing what they have to do to survive. They go to the drop-in centers, you know, to get warm, maybe to grab a sandwich. You know, sometimes the drop-in centers, Walmarts, Kroger's, if the people are EMI, you know, they can go, and Walmart and Kroger's will donate food, loaves of bread, jars of peanut butter, shower items, toiletries, you know, shampoos, that type of stuff. A few extra bottles, hotel supply size bottles are greatly always needed. Baby wipes are forever always needed. We can take those, put them in smaller baggies, pass those out in street bags as well, greatly needed. You know, because mm-hmm. people don't get a chance to wash up. People don't get to wash up every couple of days. You know, you don't feel good. So sometimes if they, because their bathrooms are locked, if you're not buying anything, you can't use the bathroom in a restaurant or a gas station a lot of times just because of what's going on with overdoses in our city. So these centers are greatly needed. Anything that anyone can drop off is greatly appreciated. Yes, yes sir.
Hmm. Okay, well.
I forgot
well,
about that, so
I'm
sorry. Yes, sir.
Man, no problem. We're learning. We're learning. All right. Well, we're going to end it for today. Thank you, Peggy. Thank you, Robin. And, oh, I got to find my studio here. Where did it go? I got to find it here somewhere. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. All right. So that's Hilltop tonight. Well, that's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Yes, sir. 9 to 11.
Okay. 9 to 11. I'm surprised you guys don't go off to you guys can probably go 3 hours if you wanted to. Let's see. I might end this program cold tonight. Dance to our regular theme song because I had it queued up, but now it's refreshing. Okay, wait a minute. Let me attempt to see if I can get it. All right, so Peggy, I'll call you this late this afternoon, and so we can get you going with. With those things, and then coordinated with what we're doing here, because we'll be doing the same thing. So, this is not cooperating. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.